Welcome into the studio, Deanna Wallace from Cast. We get that on this side because we're, you know, a little back and forth. Yeah. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me again. It's always great to get to come talk to you and the people that listen to you.
Glad to have you in. How are things at Cats?
Cats is making a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. We know that historically there have been a lot of issues that we've had to take care of, and we're making really good strides on them, and we're very proud of that progress.
Okay. I'm not going to dig in and rip in. It's y'all have had enough problems already. I want to talk about what you had sent over that, if we're looking at the future, let's look at the future, mm-hmm. right? You've got for lack of a better term, a survey out there.
Yes.
It's open till October 6th. It's called the Empower Baton Rouge Study. We're going to dig into the granular aspects as close as we can get to question by question if we have to. But what brought this about?
So last year we received a federal grant in mm-hmm. order to study what is called areas of persistent poverty. Those are zip codes where historically the people have been stuck in cycles of poverty. And so the point of this study is to really dig deep into the community and find out what barriers people have whenever they're trying to access transit, whether that's road conditions, shelters, where the locations of the stops are themselves, the lack of sidewalks. There's mm-hmm. so many different reasons why people can't access transit.
Okay, so, but y'all are the transit system. Like, how does everything else fall under your umbrella?
So this doesn't necessarily fall under our umbrella, but what it does is gives us the information we need, not only to help partner with the city, the parish, the state government or federal government for future projects, mm-hmm. It gives us the data we need to pursue more federal grants or to go and advocate on behalf of our riders and people that could be riders to get them what they need in order to get them where they need to go. Whether that's just going to DOTD and saying, hey, look at this survey and the results that say people need sidewalks on this state road.
Okay.
That kind of thing. It empowers us to work on behalf of the people that we are trying to serve.
All right, what does it look like? What does Empower Baton Rouge, what does the study look like?
So the study is going to be in a couple of different phases. We just started phase one at the end of August, and phase one is really going through the existing conditions. We had a great team that came in and helped us put together an existing conditions report that really dives deep into what the possible issues we think there could be. That are keeping people from being able to access transit on a regular basis. And then we took that out to the community to see if what the experts think is right, mm-hmm. Is actually what they're facing, because, you know, we need to get on the ground in order to get that real information from them. So we did some open houses and things like that, but the survey is the second step of that, so we can actually capture that data in a real and meaningful way.
What's in the survey?
The survey has a lot of different steps. Mm-hmm. We tried to make it very engaging, but we ask you about, where you take the bus, if you do take the bus, where's the closest stop to you, where are areas you'd like to go, where are areas that you see issues, what are the biggest issues you face? Is it lack of affordable housing near transit routes? Is it the lack of sidewalks? Is it something completely different that we haven't thought of? Mm-hmm. So it's just trying to capture everything that we possibly can about those areas and what's standing in the way.
Okay, so that leaves things wide open for a range of topics, needs, desires, and wants where folks are going to come at you from every angle. That it's going to be difficult to sift through and start saying no, like, because there's going to be a lot of no in here.
There's going to be a lot of no, but I think it's really important to focus on the most that we get of
yes.
what we can do.
Oh, no,
so there's things that we've already heard that we've already started working on.
So Breck's one of the sponsors of the show. Breck is tasked with being all things to all people in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
Like, some people like pickleball, some people like golf. You got to make both happy. Cats has a similar task when it comes to the that which would impede them from taking public transit. But you've got to play the hits. I mean, you got to go with what's responded the most to, which is inevitably going to leave some folks disappointed. So that's why I take it down that path. Community engagement, the survey and whatnot, open till October 6th. But if I'm looking at the timeline, this isn't the only round for that.
No, we're going to continue to seek public engagement through every single phase that we go through, because we're going to be trying to refine further and further down so that we can get that top wish list of things that are most necessary and would affect the most number of people. So we're going to continue this. I think it's a 2-year project total. And again, it's a federal grant, so we're not spending, the money that we need for other things. So we're continuing to spend our tax dollars locally here on the service that we provide people. It's not taking anything away from that.
How deep of a renovation is Katz willing to take on through this? Because I would assume that with the open public forum, with open public feedback, how to the bone can you cut before rebuilding?
I think it'll really depend on what we hear, because most of what we've been hearing so far, and it is still early, is a lot more about infrastructure that is not necessarily under CAT's purview, such as the sidewalks or affordable housing and things like that. So some of it might not be something that we can directly do for them, but it's something that we can help advocate on their behalf for.
We're talking with Deanna Wallace from CATS about the Empower Baton Rouge study. We've got a couple of other topics we're going to get to in a minute, but I want to stick with this because, like, I've lived in Baton Rouge since the mid-90s, and there's a huge portion of the population that does not take advantage of public transit. It comes with a stigma. It comes with a lack of convenience and always has, and I feel like for those that don't take the bus, it just always will. So that's why I ask about the deep cuts. How do you gut the whole thing, renovate the whole thing, and make it more applicable to everyone and not just the ones who have always used it?
So we've taken steps to do that. We did our COA, which I just forgot what stands for because I'm here, and comprehensive operational analysis.
There you go.
We did that, and we're going to start rolling out those changes. And we did similar public engagement for that to try to gather what we needed to change in order to make the routes more effective for more people. So we're going to start rolling out those changes next year. And we've also got our bus rapid transit, which is B-Rapid, that's going to be launching in 2025. That's a Move BR joint project with the city parish.
What is it?
So it's the bus rapid transit BRT from Plank Nicholson. And
Okay.
So that'll be something that will really show people how convenient bus travel can be whenever you have a proper investment in it, because it's going to be 15-minute headways, which is more like what people expect. So if we can get more people riding, then we get more funding from the federal government and we can increase more headways on more routes. And so it's a cyclical thing. We want to do better, but we have to also keep in mind that our federal funding is directly tied to how many people ride the bus. So anybody who rides the bus helps us make the services better for the next person that rides the bus. It's really important that we can get community buy-in, because it's going to be hard for us to make significant changes without that community buy-in. And so we're trying our best to rebuild that trust so people know that we do care and we do want to make things better, but we need them to help us too.
Deanna Wallace from CATS is our guest. And yeah, it's not a catch 22, but it could lead itself to a catch 22, because nobody rides the bus because nobody rides the bus. The bus system's not better because nobody rides the bus. Well, something's got to give there. Right. One could spark a better end for the other. So
absolutely. And we're hoping that the bus rapid transit will be something that can really spark that interest and show people how great it could be.
You said, and in your timeline here, it takes us all the way through the end of 2024 to get through community engagement, identifying existing conditions, which you've done, developing proposed solutions. Looks like it's going to map out into the beginning of next year. That it's back to community engagement, I guess, for a rehash of those proposed solutions, analyzing ranked projects and then recommendations. It's a long timeline. It's thorough. Are we going to see changes, results, little tweaks along the way that can show, hey, look, this is a step in the right direction?
Absolutely. We've already heard some really good feedback that was important for us that we've already started working on. It was little things, even like the doors at the terminal aren't ADA accessible. So we've already started getting quotes from vendors to fix that. This bench is broken over here. Can you fix that? Mm-hmm. Things like that that we can take care of immediately. Yeah. We just need people to tell us about them.
I knew we were going to dig in on this and we were going to get like way too far in the weeds. So I got to take these last 2.5 minutes to talk about some. Well, we'll get to the Narcan thing in a second. an award from the U.S. Department of Energy last week. What's that about?
Yes, we received an Alternative Fuel Vehicle Leadership Award from the Department of Energy. It was part of the Clean City Summit that took place in Washington, D.C. They were just recognizing that we've been really pushing forward in alternative vehicles. We have our electric buses. We just got 6 BYD buses, 2 weeks ago, I think. And we're adding 9 more electric buses to our fleet over the next 2 years.
BYD buses?
BYD is a brand. Okay. So it's just one of the American brands that we...
Making sure it wasn't acronym for bring your own diesel. Deanna Wallace, I got about a little over a minute left. Some training updates, including a new Narcan program. Tell me about the Narcan program.
Yes, we were able to receive some Narcan from a local group that gives them out. And we, once we received that, we were like, wait, we need to make sure that people are trained and know what they're doing and know how to recognize the signs. So our amazing safety department got 14 people, including me, certified to recognize the signs of overdose and how to properly administer Narcan.
I've got to ask you the follow-up there. Is this proactive or reactive? Is this something we've seen on our buses so far?
I think it's both. We have had an incident at the terminal where someone was overdosing, and we were able to get them help, but it was very close. And now we have that on site, and we don't have to call and wait and hope that someone will arrive on time.
It creates pause to think that we live in a world where the bus driver has to have the Narcan. Anyway.
It's unfortunate, but it's a reality, and that could happen anywhere. So we wanted to go that extra mile for the people that we serve. You know, it's a devastating problem in the entire community.
She is Deanna Wallace with CATS. Look, take part in the Empower Baton Rouge study if you can. It's available over on – the link is through CATS's website, brcats.com. Deanna, thank you so much for a couple minutes this morning.
Thank you.